Thank you, man. We do need to be reminded of all that Jesus Christ has done for us. That's sad, isn't it? Amen. That we forget. We so easily forget. I'd like to turn to 2 Kings chapter 4 this morning, please. 2 Kings chapter 4, and I want to speak about when you're running low. 2 Kings chapter 4. Second Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, What hast thou in thine house? She said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. You ever run out of gas? I know somebody that has a few times. More times than he'd like to admit. I can make it. I'm not going to pay that much. And the next thing you know, you're paying whatever you can or have to. You know, it's... We need to be careful about running low on some things. And gas is not the worst thing to run low on. You know, people run low financially, emotionally, spiritually. And we need to be aware of that and be careful about that thing. As we look at this story this morning, I want to draw some conclusions or draw some lessons from this thing. But And I know I'm going to be reading some things into here and taking some liberties with this, so I hope you'll forgive me of that. But first, I want to notice about this thing, and this poor widow woman, she's in a dire circumstance. Again, in verse 1 it says, There cried a certain woman of the wives of the son of prophets. She fears God, she's faithful to God, she's devoted to Him. Her husband had been devoted to Him as well. The wife of an unnamed prophet. We don't even know who he is. But a man who is, his life was devoted to serve God, and he's gone, and now she's alone. I'm assuming that these boys are relatively young because they're still in the house. So she's probably not all that old herself. You know, in Timothy, it tells us that, you know, the church isn't to take a woman into the church as a widow unless she's at least 60 years old. And I'm assuming this woman is much younger than that at this point. So she's a widow. She's a young widow. She's got two boys that are at home who are being threatened to be taken away from her because of the creditors. Now, we don't know why she's in this dire straits financially. Certainly the being a widow is going to complicate things, and maybe she's just had to borrow monies or whatever to get along. But nevertheless, she's in debt, and to the point of her sons being forced into bondage to pay that debt off because she has no means of herself. This is a dire circumstance. Low on funds, low on food, low on family, because she could lose her boys. Low on hope. The situation is grave, and she's in despair. Much like we get sometimes. We run low on some things. Second, see this. There's a desperate plea. She says there's a certain woman, and she comes to Elisha and saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And now knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." She's desperate. She's very concerned about the situation. And so she comes to the man of God. And he says, "Why are you so desperate?" Now, you look at this, and when you read the Bible, try to think about this. This really happened. This isn't just some made-up story. This woman was in this situation. Kind of use your imagination a little bit. Think about this. Where's the rest of the family? What about her neighbors? What about the prophets? Why is there not aid being provided for her from these other sources that you would normally think would be there to rally around her, to help her in this situation? Now, we don't know the answer to why they're not there. It could be they've been negligent, like we oftentimes get. We get so wrapped up in our own world and our own things and our own problems, and we fail to see that there's people around us Amen. That are also struggling and maybe far worse situations than we're in. So the blame could be on them for not stepping up and caring for this woman in her time of need. But there's also the possibility that she's refused help. That happens. Pride, self-sufficiency. I can do it myself. Leave me alone. That's certainly a possibility. Don't know. But the fact is, she's not getting the help that she needs until she comes crying to Elisha. And here's the first step in the right direction here, is that she's admitting the need that she has. She is going to somebody and calling upon him, saying, "Look, I need help. I'm desperate. I'm at the end of my rope. There's no other hope for me at this point. Please, what can you do for me?" And she comes to the man of God, Elisha. She tried to get by. She'd managed on her own. She tried to handle it, possibly. As I said, she may have refused to help, but now she's at the place where she's admitting her need, and she's seeking help. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4, verse 6. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." You know, when you think about this, and the sad thing is that, yes, we sometimes fail to reach out to those around us for those we need help from, but more importantly, we fail to reach out to the one who can be our greatest help. Remind me, dear Lord, that you love me, you care for me, that you're there and promise to provide my needs. And we're not to be full of fear and worry about those things. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, to make my request known unto God. But I got to admit that I got need. And then I got to seek the one who can help me with that need. Look at James chapter 4, verse 2. James chapter 4, verse 2. says, you lust and you have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war and you have not because you ask not. And as I said, you know, we could say that maybe these people who are supposed to be there to help her weren't doing their, fulfilling their responsibilities. But if they didn't know, how could they? And a lot of times that's what happens with God's people, is we don't let people know. Hey, pray for me. I'm struggling with something right now. That's what the church is for. To be there in a time of need. But the church has to know there's a need to be there in that time of need. And folks, a lot of times, oh, preacher, you know, why didn't you come see me or why didn't you do this? Didn't know. I'd have been there if I'd have known. If I'd have known you wanted me there. You know, some people don't like you to visit them in the hospital. Just leave me alone, stay away. And the Bible says, I think I got this verse here. Yeah, go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now look, there's some things that I don't make an issue of, like this anointing with oil thing. But if you want that, I will do that. I believe it's basically just endorsing the use of medicine. But if you want me to come and anoint you with oil and pray with you if you're in time of sickness, I will be happy to do that. But you got a call. Yep. Amen. Let me know what the need is. Let your brothers and sisters in Christ around you know what the need is. Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But the burden lies with you to call and ask for the help, as this woman needed to understand. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. See, church is a family. And we need to have that care one for another, the willingness to bear the burdens of each other. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 15. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. When the baby's born, the rejoicing. When a loved one's lost, the weeping. To be there, to comfort, to encourage, to share in what's going on. Chapter 15 of Romans, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit Are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto one spirit? For the body is not one member, but many. We are one body with many members. We have an accountability, a responsibility to each other. Look at verse 26. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's one of the reasons why we take prayer requests. What do we need to know about what's going on in your life? That if nothing else, we will pray for it. Maybe there's more that will need to be done. But, and I said, this is, gives the wrong idea, but at the least, praying is not the least, but at the least, if we could pray for you, whatever that need might be. Seek help for whatever that need is. And it's so sad that God's people wait so long oftentimes to seek help with a situation that it gets to the point of desperation and hopelessness before they say, I'm in trouble. Whether it be financially or emotionally or spiritually or physically or whatever the case may be, I've got a need. Will you bear my burden with me as a member of our one body? Seek the help that's needed. It was a desperate plea. Thirdly, I want you to see this. A deliverance was available. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. What shall I do? Elijah, she's come to him. Okay, what do you need? What can I do for you? How can I help you in this situation? And he says, what do you got in your house? I got nothing. I'm out. Don't you understand? I'm desperate. All I got is a lousy pot of oil. Now, I don't think Elisha has the answer. She's come to him. She's made this request to him. But I don't think he knows what to do. So he puts that out. What do you got? She said, I got a lousy pot of oil. And then God says to Elisha, that's it. I don't think he knows still where this thing is going. It's okay. Get the pot of oil. Then God gives him a little more light. Go get some vessels. He says, look at this. Verse 3. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Even empty vessels, borrow not a few. She said she had nothing. And then as a kind of an afterthought, it seems like, she mentions the pot of oil. So he says, okay, we're going to take that nothing, that which you have discounted as just kind of an afterthought, and God's going to take that and he's going to show you something. Now you go to your neighbors, go to all thy neighbors, and you go gather up all these empty vessels. You get as many as you can. Borrow a lot of them. And then we're going to see what God is going to do. And you, again, just kind of, you think, this woman's, well, what am I going to tell them? I want your empty vessels. I'm in dire straits, so the creditors are at the door. They're going to take away my boys from me. So give me your empty vessels. What for? I have no idea. But the questions didn't stop her from doing what the man of God told her to do. She goes, she gets the vessels, verse 4, and when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. I don't think that's because this is a secret of what's going on here. I think what that is getting the door shut and being alone with God. And sometimes we need that, Christian, to just get alone with God. And all the distraction, all the noise, all the other things going on, just shut that out and be alone with God. Amen. And see what God's going to do. Shut the door upon thee and thy sons, and thou shalt pour it out under thy vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Now, again, I imagine that there might have been some reservation as this started. Now, I don't know how big the pot was that she had of oil. Probably not very big at all. The vessels, maybe barrels, we don't know that either. But she takes the pot and she begins to pour. And this small pot pours into this larger vessel, and she continues to pour, and she continues to pour, and she continues to pour till the vessel's full. And then she tells the boys, take that and give me another one. And she starts pouring again, and she continues to pour till that one's full. And I imagine at this point the excitement starts building a little bit. Can you put yourself in that situation? Imagine what that must have been like to see this small pot filling larger vessel after vessel after vessel till the entire room is crowded with these vessels filled to the brim. And she says, bring me another vessel. And the boy says, that's all, Mom. That's all we borrowed. And then the oil stopped. Isn't that amazing? Isn't our God amazing?
Yes, amen.
In what he can do? Say, well, I don't know. I mean, that's an old story written several thousand years ago, and God still does it.
Amen.
God can still do it.
Amen.
Oh, you have little faith. Say, well, yeah, but I... No, don't get your butt out of the road and let God do what he wants to do. That's our problem. We stand in God's way. There are so many things that God would like to do for us. And I am the hindrance of what God wants to do. She kept pouring till it was all gone. And she stood surveying that room of full vessels in amazement. And she goes, verse 6, and it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her sons, bring me yet a vessel. He said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God and said, go sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. God not only took care of the immediate need to get the creditors, put them at bay, and save her children, but he took care of her beyond to live off the rest. That what was in those vessels could be sold and with enough for the present need and enough left over to take care of her into the future. What a God we serve.
Amen.
God gave the answer. As Elijah was faithful, and then as the woman was responsive, the divine supply. God filled every vessel that she supplied. Had there been more, they would have continued to be filled. God's not limited in what he can do.
Amen.
God continues until we withhold. That's what happened there. His supply was limited, or his supply was limited to what she made available to him to do. Make room for the blessings of God in your life. Admit your needs. Seek the help. Look at Philippians 4, verse 19. Philippians 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Just a short, simple little verse. Probably most of us even have that committed to memory. But how oftentimes do we dismiss that? God promised to supply what I need. Now, we and God don't always agree on what defines the need. But what God knows that we need, he has promised he will supply it. Sometimes we need to go without. But God has promised to supply all my need. Not just some of it. Not just what's convenient for him at the moment. All my need. Everything. Wisdom. Strength. Health. All of it. Say, well, my health isn't real good right now. Well, then God just decided that it doesn't need to be good right now. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Our view of things isn't always in agreement with God's. God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But God's promised to supply all my need. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Not just above what we ask or think. Not just abundantly above all that we ask or think. But exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. That's our God. Supplying all my need.
Yep.
But I gotta admit that I've got a need. Amen. That I've got to seek him for the supply of that need. And then trust that he's going to do just that. To be ready and to be willing to respond and receive. You have not because you ask not, he said. Are you running low on something this morning? God's promised to supply your need.
Amen.
Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, what is our need this morning? Help us, God, each of us to be honest before you regarding what that need is. It may be the need to humble ourselves before our brethren, to confess to them some struggle we might be having, some need that in our lives, our personal lives. God, help us to be honest before you and honest with each other. And to give the opportunity for our brothers and sisters in Christ to fulfill their responsibilities to us and before you. Thank you, God, for the God that you are. Thank you, God, for all that you provided for us and all that you promised to supply us. God, may this message be used to touch and speak and work in hearts and lives, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.